Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us this morning, your living word that reaches out to touch us and minister to us. And we pray that as we reflect upon it for a little while, you will come and meet us where we need to be healed, forgiven, restored, and made new. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. For a number of years, I had the wonderful privilege of working in a nursing home, and I really enjoyed the years that I spent there caring for people. And you know how it is if you're in that situation, you sometimes really get attached to particular folk. They've been there for a long time, and they're really just like part of your family. And there was one particular man named Willie Stewart, who had been in the nursing home for about 7 years, and over that time had kind of got to know him quite well. And I can remember one morning getting him up out of bed, and another nurse was in beside me, and we were chatting about family. And I happened to mention something about my father. And Willie went, "Ah, oh, your father! I kent your father." And I went, "Did you, Willie? Did you ken my father?" "Aye, I kent him well. I even clapped his dug." And I thought, well, for Willie, this getting to know someone, this knowing of someone in a deeper way was by clapping their dug. Psalm 139 is just one of these most wonderful psalms in the Bible. A popular psalm, a beautiful psalm, and here the psalmist speaks in the most intimate terms of the divine. It is speaking about a relationship of nearness, of touch, of attentiveness and love. The psalmist writes, "You formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes beheld my unformed body." And at the end of life, God and the psalmist are still in a close relationship together. Psalm 139 is a psalm that I have had both difficult and comforting associations over the course of my life. It's a psalm I come back to time and time again. But you know, there was a time in my life when I just couldn't bear to read the words of the psalm. That bit where it says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them ever began." That knowledge that God knew everything that was going to happen to me in my life before they ever began. And in my younger life, I had a really difficult time at home and in family and relationship. And later on in my life, as I reflected upon that, I became quite angry with God, wondering how he could have possibly ordained these horrible things that had happened to me when I was a child, that he had ordained these things that were going to happen to me in my life before one of them ever began. And there was a long period of years when I just couldn't bear to read that particular psalm. Such was the intimacy of it, such was the knowledge that God had of me and the experiences in my life. But then there was a time when I was invited to go over to America to go on a course, a conference. And I didn't really want to go. I was experiencing real terrible memories, flashbacks to my childhood. And it was the last thing I wanted to do was to go away over to America on a course. But you know, particular people kept saying to me, "I think you should go. I think you would really benefit from this. I think that you should really just sign up for it and go." And I was saying, "Oh no, I'm not wanting to go to America. I've got things to sort out here in my life." But eventually the nagging got so much that I agreed to go away on the conference. And as I went over, I met someone who was also on the conference. And he spoke to me and he said, "You know, your mother was always a very difficult woman." And I went, "Oh, yeah, I know." He was her minister. And he said, "You know, I have a feeling that maybe you and I should get together sometime when we come home, when we get back from America, and maybe we can begin to just have a chat about things that are maybe burdening you this moment." And that was the beginning of a great healing time in my life. And when I came back, I was smiling away to myself because I went to Psalm 139 and I went to some of the verses that we didn't read today, and it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, surely your right hand will hold me fast." And I just thought, how amazing is God that he would take me to the other side of the ocean in order to begin the work of healing, work that had been ordained before any of my days had come to be. I had an encounter at that time with the living word. I had an aha moment. And during the season of Epiphany, the season after Christmas, all the readings that we're drawn to and pointed towards are full of aha moments. And in John's Gospel particularly, we are pointed over and again to the words in John's Gospel where it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Or as we read in the Message, a wonderful translation of that, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." The Word that was there in the very beginning with God came to us, came to earth, came and moved into the neighborhood. And it's quite breathtaking, isn't it, when we read these words, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Emmanuel, we sang all over the Christmas period, Emmanuel, God is with us. Some of you will know that my youngest daughter, Elsie, completely surprised our family recently by telling us she's expecting twins mid-May. She had a big scan on Friday afternoon and brought home the pictures of these little people, two boys in fact, growing within her. And as we looked at the scans, we could see their bodies already forming and being formed in the womb. But as I looked at them, I was aware of this reading of Psalm 139. Just knowing and realizing and standing in awe of the fact that God already knew these little ones in their inmost being. From the moment of our creation, from the moment before our creation, the Lord has known us through and through, particularly the inward parts of our being. God beheld the unformed substance. In other words, before we took shape, we were imbued with purpose and created and shaped by love. And it does just take your breath away. Our gospel reading is the story of Philip and Nathanael being called. Jesus had already begun to call his disciples. He'd called Andrew and Simon Peter's brother. And now in this next part, we read of him calling Philip. And all he says about Philip in the gospel is, "Finding Philip, Jesus said to him, 'Follow me.' And then Philip went and found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." There's a wee bit of kind of humour injected into this part of the reading, because Nathanael says, "Nazareth! Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip has just said to him, "Come and see." And so Nathanael comes towards Jesus. And as Jesus sees him coming, he takes him up on what he has said about him and his skepticism, saying, "Well, here is a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael says to Jesus, "How do you know me?" And Jesus says, quite simply, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael says, "How do you know me?" Jesus says, "I saw you under the fig tree." He could easily have said, "Aha, I knew you before you were born. My eyes saw your unformed body." That would have been a bit of a shocker, wouldn't it? But no, he just says, "I saw you while you were under the fig tree." And with these few words, it's like a light goes on in Nathanael's inmost being. He has an aha moment. He recognizes who Jesus is. He says to him, "You are the Son of God, the King of Israel." He was and is already known to Jesus. And he immediately says who Jesus is. I'm reminded of the account of the woman Jesus met at the well. She was as skeptical as Nathanael in the beginning. But after Jesus spoke to her, after he spoke truth into her heart, after he recognized who she was and told her, she ran and told everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. Come and see. An invitation from the heart. We hear it again in John's Gospel this morning. And again from these early disciples, to the Pharisee named Nicodemus, to the Samaritan woman at the well, to the man born blind, to Peter and Pilate. And after Jesus rises from the dead, we see Thomas. All of them recognizing who Jesus is. All of them knowing that they are already deeply known and loved. And so across the pages of John's Gospel, there are women and men, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, powerful and vulnerable, people of all shapes and sizes and varieties that Jesus encounters. And to each one, in one way or another, he says the same thing. Come and see. Come and see God do a new thing. Come and see your future opening up in front of you. Come and see the grace of God made manifest and accessible to you. It's quite breathtaking, isn't it? The psalmist says, "You knew my unformed body. You saw me as I was knit together in my mother's womb." Each one of us known from the very moment of our conception. Each one of us known through all of our lives, all the twists and turns that our lives have taken. All of us known today as we sit here in this sanctuary. The Holy Spirit is moving among us. Jesus knows exactly what's going on in our lives. And he knows exactly what's ahead of us. We don't know. Sometimes we try to find out, but we never know what's ahead of us. But God knows, as individuals, what he has in mind for us. And he's promised to be with us, even to the end. God knows what's ahead of you as a congregation, as you sit and wait in this time, waiting for the person who's going to come to be your minister. He knows exactly what's ahead of you. And that's exciting, isn't it? The person who's coming to you has been knitted together, and it'll be just the right fit. It's so exciting, isn't it, to know that we are God's children, no matter what age we are. And it's so comforting to know that he is with us. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you know us inside and out. Thank you that you have a particular plan for each of our lives as we move forward day by day. Thank you that you've been with us in the good days and in the more troubled days. And thank you that we find truth in the scripture. So, Father, bless us as individuals, we pray. And bless us as congregation, the worshipping community in this place. And keep us ever mindful that you are with us. And we praise you this day. In Jesus' name, amen.